There are a lot of things that make Wisconsin unique. One of them is the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, the only place in the world where all 15 species of cranes can be seen, and recently honored for two different projects it's been up to. Richard Belfus is with us now. He's president and CEO of the International Crane Foundation. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, I want to look at two different awards you won. One, closer to home here in Wisconsin, on Whooping Crane Conversation, a project I've been following for a long time. Tell us how endangered the whooping crane is and how you tried to bring it back.
You bet. Yeah, thanks. We've been involved in working with the whooping crane for many, many years now, and the whooping crane is the most threatened bird in North America. It's the rarest bird in North America, and it's also the tallest and one of the most conspicuous, these huge white birds that you see. And we've been involved in two different efforts. One is trying to save the wild flock that migrates between Texas and up into northern Canada, and those birds got down to fewer than 20 back in the 1940s due to excessive hunting and other problems, and they just about went extinct, and then they've been on a very long, slow recovery. Since that time, we're back up a little bit over 300 birds now in the wild, which is an exciting recovery story, but a long, slow slog in trying to bring these birds back. And then as an insurance policy, for about the last 15 years, we've been working on reintroducing a second wild flock into the eastern part of the U.S., and that's called the Whooping Crane Eastern Partnership, working with federal and state partners and other nonprofit organizations trying to bring these birds back to Wisconsin and to the eastern part of the U.S., and that's been a very challenging but exciting project, too. And the idea ultimately is to have a separate population, or maybe two, one down in Louisiana as well, that will buffer against threats across the country to this very, very rare bird.
And that's had some amazing pictures, people dressed as cranes, people up on ultralight, gliders leading cranes around. How big a role do humans have to play to bring these whooping cranes back on this eastern path and to train them on the migration?
Right. It's an enormous challenge to bring species back. You know, it's such a great case for saving them in the wild in the first place, because it really reintroduction is kind of pushing the frontiers of ecology in many ways. It's really testing what we know about what these birds and other animals really need in the wild when we try to bring them back, and how to bring them back successfully and safely. So with the whooping cranes, there were many, many steps to it. We had to teach them a migration route that had been lost when the last of the birds were lost, and that involved that great story with the ultralight aircraft, you know, literally flying them from Wisconsin down to Florida before they could learn the migration on their own. And then it also involves trying to get them to naturally pair up in the wild, form good, strong pair bonds between males and females, to lay eggs successfully, and to raise and fledge those chicks. So there's lots and lots of complicated pieces to trying to get them back, get them into the right habitat, and get them out there. So it's been a lot of work, and there's just, you know, sadly, there's just so few good, successful restoration stories anywhere in the world right now. And we think this is a great story, but we're not there yet. We're still working on it, but we are getting there. So,
now, you also work with the whooping crane's cousins around the world, and you were recently recognized for its work in Vietnam. You've been into this project for a while, I think. What's the Crane Foundation doing in Vietnam?
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing up this story. It's a great one. We're working in a place called Phu My, which is in the Mekong Delta region of Vietnam, way down in the south of Vietnam. And it's a great project. I think it epitomizes the work we're trying to do at the International Crane Foundation worldwide, which is to find sustainable solutions for cranes that really not only directly affect the conservation issues of the cranes, but address the people that live, and in some places have to make sacrifices in their own livelihoods to live near cranes. So in this project down in the Mekong Delta, we've tried to use the natural wetland grasses that occur around an area called Phu My, and people have been actually harvesting these grasses and using them as wetland plant for decades, for centuries, and using them to weave local products. But we've been working with them to bring these products to market and actually create a good livelihood out of using wetland plants sustainably from this wetland. And what's been really exciting in Phu My is we've got a situation where more households are involved in using these wetland plants, harvesting them sustainably and using them and bringing them and the products to market. And we've got some more people involved. Those people are earning more money, and we've got more cranes. The population of cranes there has shot up as well. There were very few cranes in the site before the project started, and there's more than 250 now using the area, and the number keeps going up. So it's exciting to see these examples where people can coexist with the birds in the wild and find these sort of elusive win-win solutions in the wild.
Yeah, is that going to be a model for people in other conservation efforts trying to get local the local human population on board, make it economically viable, even interesting and exciting for them to join in the effort?
Well, we think so. We think it's a great model for many places where, you know, cranes often, in the crane world, they often live side by side with people, and people revere them, which is wonderful, but they still have to survive and eke out their daily livelihoods in many poor countries where cranes occur. So we're really looking for these opportunities where people can get their livelihoods using the same habitat in many cases as cranes, and use it in a sustainable, in a way that really can be kept in action for the long term. That's what we're aiming for. We think it applies not only to cranes, but many species that live in places where there's lots of people and where you often see conflicts between people and wildlife.
And Rich, before I let you go, when I moved to Wisconsin, the Crane Foundation was here, it existed. I thought, oh, this is just, you know, an institution here. It was just a couple of guys who said, hey, we should start a Crane Foundation. Can you tell us a bit about the origin story?
Sure. International Crane Foundation was started back in 1973 by two students, two Cornell students, George Archibald, who's still with the foundation. He's our co-founder, has served for 42 years, and Ron Sawi, who served for about the first 15 years of the organization and then died rather suddenly back in 1987. And so the vision of Ron and George was to create this foundation and work worldwide for crane conservation, bringing cranes back in the wild where they're missing, but really focusing on saving the birds out in the wild. And a lot of the work that was done in the 70s and 80s was real conservation frontier work, getting into areas like Russia and China and later into Vietnam, where really very few conservation groups were working, and working through this passion people have for cranes around the world to do conservation, to create conservation projects on their behalf. So it was really kind of the genesis of the foundation, was this worldwide passion people have for the birds and trying to turn that passion into real action for wetland conservation and grassland conservation around the world.
Rich, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
That's Rich Belfus. He's president and CEO of the International Crane Foundation based in Baraboo, where you can see and hear the cranes we've been talking about.